robot nurses, robot soldiers, and robot teachers for your children. How much do we really want robots to be a part of our lives? The International Monetary Fund has released a report looking at the different levels of substitution of labour with artificial intelligence. And they concluded that all scenarios were depressing and dystopian and would lead to inequality and unemployment. Dr. Fiona Kerr is Neural and Systems Complexity Specialist from the University of Adelaide. She came into the studio for a chat with The Wire's Matt Welch about how much we should be letting AI into our lives.
We actually have quite a lot of choice about the direction that we go in. And one of those things is around, do we want to build quality partnerships with artificial intelligence, or do we want to get driven down the quantity kind of partnership path? So what is it that we want the future to look like, and how do we get artificial intelligence to enable that? And I work in more than one country, so some countries are much different in how they look at the issue and how they ask the questions than others. So I guess we need to accept that we do have choice at certainly a large level of trying to drive an economy or a society. And we need to think proactively about that and be a lot more interactive about discussing things like, what does productivity actually look like? What does worth look like? And what does value look like? How important is social capital? And different countries have different ways of dealing with that.
Now, entertainment has led us to believe that artificial intelligence, such as Terminators and the robots out of iRobot, has AI already begun to work its way into taking over people's jobs?
Yes, so AI is not just robots. It's you know, AI is on your phone every day. It helps you to type and choose things. So we see it all over the place. You'll see it at the checkouts in the supermarket. You'll see it in supply depots where people are trying to kind of pick things. You'll even see them having little badges that tell them whether they've picked something fast enough. So we use it for all sorts of really interesting ways. And we've got chatbots. Sometimes you can't tell if originally you're talking to a chatbot, although pretty quickly you can when they need to contextualize or to try and figure out how you're feeling about something. But certainly algorithms step in a lot. And of course, our data, the way that we now search things, look for things, shop online, all of those kind of things are very much shaped by the algorithm you come up against. So that also means that it skews the wrong way as well as the right way. So it's quite invasive. And certainly if you've got something like Alexa in your home or, you know, one of those sorts of things, then that changes all kinds of things around people's shopping patterns, around their potential interaction at home, all sorts of things.
Now, you just said before the supermarkets in particular, there's a clear push for people to use automated machines. Is this something that we should regulate to keep people in the workforce?
Some countries do, and you may have noticed, so there's one, I don't know if I can say who it is, well, so Fruitful's Foodland has signs up there saying we will never do that. Yep. And it's probably one of the reasons why some people I know actually shop there, and I tend not to use them either. So I guess one of the things we really need to think about is, why do we put the AI in, or why do we technologize something, and what cost does it have? I guess one of the big things, I work in the area of both human interaction and direct interaction with each other, and how that changes the way we think, the way we feel, the way, even things like immune systems. So when would a robot nurse be quite efficient, and when would a human interaction actually be more effective? And there are definitely times, and I work in, say, the military as well, around trusted autonomous systems, and there are times when a human's better, and there are times when technology's better, and there are times when it's quite neutral. And what we're not doing is figuring out when is the human better. We're not actually stepping back and saying, instead of trying to make robots human and humans robots, you know, what do we bring to that process? So even if we go back to that supermarket thing, I actually enjoy going through and having a chat with the normally young people that are in there and having that social interaction. And one of the nice things about it is, as a neuroscientist, I know how much we get from that. So with the chemical interactions we get, the fact that we are uplifted by direct interaction with other people, and it changes all sorts of things around the sense of belonging and connection with other people in your local environment as well as your society. So there's all sorts of sort of cascading impacts around that. And one of the issues we've got is, and a lot of technological conferences, and you know, someone will stand up and say, isn't it great, soon no one will have to do these boring jobs. And it's arrogant for a number of reasons. One of them is, what one person calls a boring job is very important to someone else.
Yeah, absolutely.
And also every job's got sort of boring bits. And also, interestingly, it's not just the boring jobs that can be, you know, automated. There's various things because AI is so good at pattern recognition and aggregation of data. The biggest jobs, the biggest changes are not at the low level of jobs because very often they are quite complex for AI to do. So, you know, someone in a manual situation, walking around over, you know, uneven ground, picking things up and doing things like that, that's really hard for AI. But finding information and trying to write a report on something is much easier if a lot of that information is, you know, is published and is aggregable so that they can actually collect and produce it. But another thing about the boring job is human beings need to feel worthy and useful. And very often, that boring job means I look after my family. It means that I have a place in society and in a company. And hugely, there's all of the other things that come with having a job. There's being part of a social group. There's a number of cascades. And so we only measure one thing. And there's a lot of things that we're not measuring in the countries where they're very much set on artificial intelligence being there for financial gain.
It's Dr. Fiona Kerr. She's a neural and systems complexity specialist from the University of Adelaide. She was talking to The Wire's Matt Welch.